God loved us just as we are. In our sins, He died for us. He loved you as you were, but He never had any intention of leaving you as you were. Never, never, never. God doesn't save you to keep you the same. He saves us to change us, to make us like Himself.
God can't give you anything new if your hands are already full of the old. Hello, and thanks for being here for today's Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, who is Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. You know, believers in Christ have been called to let go of the old self, to put it off and lay it down. That's the first step in becoming new, but there are others, and Pastor Paul shares them with us next. Look online at PastorPaul.net, where you can listen to a recent Destined for Victory message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. Right now, here is Pastor Paul with today's message, The Process of Becoming New.
So I want to resume looking at just verse 22 as we were looking at in the last message. And we were establishing the fact that putting off the old self is a crucial first step toward becoming new. If you don't understand that, if you haven't locked that in, I want you to jot it down if necessary. Putting off the old self is the crucial first step toward becoming new. You can't become new until you get rid of some old stuff that God says, I don't have a plan to keep that in your life. Now, I want everybody to understand putting off the old self is the crucial first step toward becoming new. We've all got some stuff we got to let go of. We've been saved by grace. God loved us just as we are. In our sins, He died for us. He loved you as you were, but He never had any intention of leaving you as you were. Never, never, never. God doesn't save you to keep you the same. He saves us to change us, to make us like Himself. And therefore, since the goal is for Him to recreate us and make us like Himself, the first step is going to be getting rid of the old stuff. So I want to ask you some questions. We're going to be intensely, this is an in your business message. It's in your business. Yes, it is intentionally in your business. I want you to understand that you're saved, and God, in saving you, the first thing He did was He changed your status. These are days of social media, so everybody on social media knows about status. First thing you do when you get saved is He changes your status. I go from dead spiritually to alive. That's a status change. You were dead in trespasses and sins. He changed your status. Now your status is alive. You were a sinner, old status sinner. He changed it. Now you're a saint. Before you get your act together, you're a saint. He makes you that positionally. Positionally, I am a saint. Possessionally, I have to learn how to drop off the old sinner stuff. Come on, somebody. You can still, I know you saved, know you've been in church a lot of years. You can still act like quite the sinner. Oh, see, there y'all go. There y'all go. I know what you're talking about. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. You have had sinful moments, sinful episodes. And so what we're trying to do is learn how to get rid of the old God's way so He can introduce into us the newness of life that He has ordained for us. So the first thing is you get your status changed. Your status is already changed. Don't let the devil condemn you, and don't let hypocrite Christians condemn you. I'm saved and my status is saint before I get my act together. I thought you were saved. I am saved. Yes, sir. He changed my status. Yes. You don't get to say whether I'm saved. The Lord said I'm His. He gave me the Holy Spirit. The moment you got saved, he gave you the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit comes into your heart crying, Abba, Father, meaning he establishes a father, son, and daughter relationship between you and the Heavenly Father. I'm his kid. It automatically, before I learn how to live, I'm his child. And so you got to get this straight. Status change first. Now that my status has changed, he said, all right, now we're going to go to work on your positionally alive. You're positionally a saint. Now let me work with you to teach you how to possessionally be a saint. Possess saint tributes, saint attributes. And so that's what God is doing in all of us now. So this message comes to just ask you to look at the areas of your life where there's some stuff that needs to be put off. Are you already aware? I think I asked this question at the close of the last message. Let me ask it again. Are you already aware of things in your life that need to be put off? You should already be aware of some stuff, because your heart should be tender enough where the Holy Spirit can convict you. I don't want that. I don't like that. That's not my plan. We're not doing that. If you've never heard any of that, you've never heard the Holy Spirit ever say, nope, this ain't it. If you've only heard congratulations and never conviction, something wrong with your experience. The God we serve loves you enough to correct you. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Some folk think, you know, just because you didn't do something right, that means you don't have a right relationship with God. No, no. The Bible says he loves his kids, so he chastens his kids. Who he doesn't chasten is the other folk. They're already under judgment. He's trying to get them together before judgment comes, because they're already in trouble. You don't go around disciplining other people's kids. But your own, I'm talking about proper parenting. I'm sorry. Proper parenting. Because I grew up in the days of proper parenting where they say, you my child. Don't tell me about what Jimmy and them can do. Well, over at their house, you don't live over there. Not your family. What you telling me about them? Let them do whatever it is they do over there. So you've got to learn that's the way our God is. So you should have already experienced some conviction. If you just skating the whole day, every day, all day with your nastiness, something wrong. So you ought to already be aware. But if you happen to not be aware, and if you happen to have muted out the Holy Spirit's voice, another way that the Lord wants to get to you is through some truth tellers in your life. Do you have some folks who love you enough to tell you the truth? See, some of y'all only have fans. You need friends. A friend loves at all times. Some of y'all only surround yourself with your friends, with your posse, with your gang, with your clique. We roll together. No, God wants you to have some people in your inner circle who love you too much to leave you lying to yourself. You need some people who will tell you what you need to hear, even when they know it's not what you want to hear. Do you have any of them? Do you have any of them in your life group? That's why we have life groups here at Destiny. It's about life. We do life together. Life means when I hear you say something, I say, wait, can I ask you about that? Tell me a little bit more about that, what you just said. Life, we're doing life together. They shouldn't just let you just say any old thing, do any old thing, have any old priority, and no one says anything. That's not doing life together.
Pastor Paul Shepherd will be right back with the second half of today's message, The Process of Becoming New. Listen to any recent Destined for Victory message on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net, where you'll find a host of great resources at our online store. Or listen to the broadcast wherever you go by downloading our free Destined for Victory mobile app. Search Destined for Victory in your app store. Do you have close friends in your life who will challenge you and help you grow in your faith? If not, Pastor Paul encourages you to find some and do it on purpose. Let's join him now for the second half of today's message, the process of becoming new.
So are there truth tellers in your life, people who have permission to say things like, can I see you for a minute? And they pull you to the side because they're not trying to embarrass you in front of other people. They pull you to the side. This isn't an embarrassment session. And you need some folks who will tell you, you know what, when you said this, when you did this, your attitude is et cetera. They get down into your business. And you need to thank God for them. A friend loves at all times. A brother's born for adversity. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Told you many times before, you need some folk who can cut you. See, you're only familiar with the folk who cut you because they're enemies with a knife trying to stab you to death. No, you need somebody else who has something sharp, but their job is not to stab you to death. Their job is to do surgery to life. A surgeon has something sharp, but they're not your enemy. A surgeon has a sharp instrument because they're trying to cut something out of you that if it doesn't get cut out, that's what's going to kill you. So you got to have some folks who have permission to handle the scalpel. See, some of y'all, you never met anybody. You never even considered anybody getting in your business like that. You ready to buff up on somebody first chance you get. Nobody disrespect me. I'm not disrespecting you. I'm telling you the truth. In love. I'm not disrespecting you. Your feelings are hurt because you're wrong. That's all. Your feelings are hurt when you're wrong. Don't get mad at me because you're wrong. I was offended. Apologize to me and I'll forgive you. Now we're taking care of it. I offended you by telling you the truth. Apologize to me. I'm so sorry. I was tripping, got mad at you, and all you did was told me the truth. Apologize to me. I said, oh, I'll forgive you. If it was a pastoral relationship, I'll be like a priest. My son, I forgive you. But you need to do that with your friends. You need to do that with your inner circle. People, don't have an inner circle of liars. Don't have an inner circle of enablers. Have an inner circle whose job is to help you get to heaven and help you get God some credit on your way. That's what your inner circle needs to be. We all going to heaven together. That means we want to tell each other the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if you don't like it, if the cat is being rubbed wrong, let the cat turn around. Because I'm not changing the truth for you. All right, there are four areas. I got 28 more minutes. Four areas we should examine. I want to make sure that you are putting off your stuff. So I want to give you four areas to examine. First, let's look at your assets. Your assets. The stuff you have in your life. Whether it's from material assets, whatever, your body is an asset. Your material goods and possessions are assets. Your money, asset. Your influence, an asset. Let's look at your assets. We belong to God. Every one of us belong to God, who are saved by grace. Well, technically, even all humanity belongs to God in that, you know, if I miss you in Jesus, I'll catch you in Adam. I get that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not talking about you as a human being a child of God by creation and procreation. I'm talking about those of us who are in Christ. So we belong to God because we are in Christ. Let's establish some things in the scriptures. Psalm 100 verse 3, you already know it. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. King James says, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He made us. We belong to him. You're his child. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies, one of your assets, are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You, watch this, are not your own. It's my body. No, it's not. It's his body. He's letting you live in. Verse 20, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Nobody tells me what to do. God does. God does. He gets to tell you what to do with your body. That's why you'll read your Bible and you come across a fornication, adultery, and lasciviousness and all this. He gets to tell you that's not what I made you to do. He gets to tell you, stop it. Because it's his body that you're living in. You just saw it right in the Word. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. Why you get mad at the mailman? All he did was drop something off. He wasn't the author. So every asset we have belongs to God. Not only our bodies, not only our material possessions, what three major assets you have are your time, your talent, and your treasure. Your time belongs to God. He gets to call time. One of these days he's going to call time. You're out of here. The alarm clock doesn't wake you up. Whole lot of folks' alarm clock went off this morning and they laid right there. Because time got called. And so time belongs to God in your life. So the question is, what do you need to put off from your current lifestyle in the way you're misusing time? There's some things you're doing with your time that God has not endorsed. So how does he want you to use the time he gave you? So those are the kinds of questions we have to consider. Look at all the hours in a given week. How many of those are you using for things that are not God's will for your life? And it's not just sinful things, not just sinful. Sometimes it's not sin, but it's unproductive and it's not God's will because you're not doing what he has told you to do. If you sub what you want to do and instead of what God has called you to do with some areas of your time, then those are things you've got to put off. So it's not a matter of, well, and not everything in life is spiritual. Of course it's not. Work is necessary in most of our lives just to earn a living so that we can have a life. Some of y'all still don't get it. Earning a living is not life. You can earn a living and not have a life. God wants you to have a life, but earning a living allows you to do it. So are you earning your living in such a way that honors and glorifies God, your use of time? You want to glorify him. I don't work for God. I work for the man, and I don't like his policies anyway, so I just do what I want with the time. You can't do that. You're going to get fired in Jesus' name. God didn't call you. Don't worry about it. Your boss not even saved. Don't even worry about it. Just go ahead and spend your whole time doing stuff your boss didn't tell you. That's not God's will. You work for Caesar. Give to Caesar what belongs to him. You got to work. You got to understand I have to honor God wherever I am. Look at Daniel. Look at the three Hebrew boys. They're in Babylon. They're in heathen country. That's where they live. But they honored God even among the heathen. That's what you're called to do. Every day some of y'all get to do that. You work around a whole bunch of heathens. And God didn't throw it off on them. They need to get saved. How they gonna get saved and they see you? You won't even honor God by treating your time right. I don't want a Jesus that lets me flake off on somebody else's dime. That's not God's will. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Your talent. What are you doing with the giftings God has given you to do? What are you doing? Why are you sitting on gifts God told you to use? What did he give you the gift for except to use it? Giftedness is a responsibility. It's not a privilege. It's not something to gloat about. It's not something to brag about. It's something to use for God's glory. When you have a gift, you have a responsibility. It's not something that's optional. God gave you the gift because he wanted a return on that investment. So you got to look at your gifts. Which of your gifts just laying around doing nothing? God said, I gave it to you for a reason. How come you're not using it for my glory? How come you're not using it to honor me, to bless the kingdom, and to help people in life, wherever they are, however you can help them?
Thanks much for being here for today's Destined for Victory message, The Process of Becoming New. Look for any of Pastor Paul's recent messages online on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And Pastor joins me once again from his studio. Pastor, as Christians, I hope that we agree Thanksgiving shouldn't be reserved for just 1 week out of the year, but the Thanksgiving holiday does give us a focused opportunity to count our blessings, doesn't it? Why don't you share what you're particularly thankful for this year?
Absolutely, Wayne. I'm thankful first and foremost for the gift of life. You know, in these days of everybody trying to make it through what we hope are the latter days of a pandemic, we ought to be grateful just for the gift of life itself. And I am especially mindful right now because I'm a few days away. If the Lord blesses me with a few more days, I will reach my 65th birthday at the end of this month. When I was young, I thought 65, well, they told us that was when you retired. That was when you found a comfortable chair. And, you know, you would sit by a window like my grandfather would do. I would see him staring out the window, and he just loved sitting in his chair, looking at life pass him by. And I thought, okay, that's what 65 looks like. Now that I'm a few days from it, I'm like, no, not at all. I got some stuff I need to do. But I'm grateful that I have the opportunity, should the Lord give me these next few days, to experience 65 and hopefully beyond. So we need to all be thankful for life, whatever stage, whatever season of life we're in. Be grateful that God's blessed us with it. And I think we need to just take a look around us. One of the keys to Thanksgiving, you know, we often say things like Thanksgiving ought to be Thanksgiving. And I agree, but the way to get there is to be mindful. We need to be thoughtful people, because if you think about the little blessings every day, you'll always have reasons to remain in an attitude of gratitude.
You know, Pastor, in your encouragement letter earlier this month, you said that when we show our gratitude to God, we should make sure to do it out loud. And I thought that was a great word of encouragement, as are the thoughts you shared just now. Thank you. Well, Pastor Paul and all of us at Destined for Victory want to thank you out loud for your prayers and financial support. And when you send a generous gift this month, we'd like to say thanks by sending you Pastor Paul's booklet, Loving Others When It's Not Easy. In this timely resource, Pastor Paul offers practical advice about how to minimize conflict, how to settle differences, and walk in love. That's Loving Others When It's Not Easy, our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500, or you can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. If you would like to give online or sign up to receive the encouragement letter I mentioned just a moment ago, visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net.
So you got to look at your gifts. Which of your gifts just laying around doing nothing? God said, I gave it to you for a reason. How come you're not using it for my glory? How come you're not using it to honor me, to bless the kingdom, and to help people in life, wherever they are, however you can help them?
That's next time when Pastor Paul Shepherd shares his message, The Process of Becoming New. Until then, though, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.